Hey, good morning. Today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Aleph. We left off on daf Mem Amud Beis at the two dots all the way down towards the bottom of the Amud. Yesterday we had completed the discussion of the Shavuos Modeh B'Miktzas. We had seen the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel as to what the criteria for the Taina, for the Odah, for the Kfira is. And today we are going to transition to the next case in the Mishnah, which was the case of Kofar HaKol. Now, by the case of Kofar HaKol, we had said that you are not chayav a shvua at all. And what's going to come out in the Gemara is that you're not chayav a shvua midaraisa, but you are chayav a shvua midrabanan called a shvua hesis. So for the first part of Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, we're going to focus on what exactly are the differences potentially between a Shvuah Daraisa and a Shvuah Darabanan. And then on the bottom of Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, onto Mem Aleph, Amud Beis, continuing through the rest of today's daf, is going to be a discussion of what happens if a person borrows money in front of Edim. Does he have to repay in front of Edim or not? Is he believed to say that he repaid in front of Edim, who then went off to Medina Sayyam and are no longer able to be presented in court as witnesses? What happens if various other stipulations are made, either at the time of the loan or after the time of the loan? Do those stipulations have to be abided by? So today's shiur again is sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, L'schus Rafua Shleima for Chaim Naftali ben Frumet Freda, as well as for Sarah Freda Baschaya. We wish them a Rafua Shleima b'toch Shar Choli Yisrael. So let's pick up from the two dots towards the bottom of Mem Amud Beis. Mana li biyadcha ein lecha biyadi pater. So the case of Kofar HaKol, if somebody says, you owe me $100, the guy says, I don't owe you anything, then the fellow is going to be pater from taking a shvua. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman umashbien oso shvuas heses. Yay, he's pater from taking a shvua daraisa. However, we are going to give him a shvua drabanan called a shvuas heses. Now, why does the guy have to take a shvua at all if midoraisa he is going to be pater from a shvua? So my taima, so frak the Gemara, why do we give him a shvua sesis? Because chazaka ain adam tavea ela imken yeshlo a love. Because there's a chazaka that a person is not going to be tavea money from his friend willy nilly. A person is only going to be tavea money from his friend if his friend owes him money, and therefore, there's reason to impose a shvua midrabanan on the fellow who denies that he owes the guy any money. So says the Gemara, Adarabah, chazaka ena adameyas panav bifnei balkovo. Well, we have a chazaka that a person is not going to be meyas panav and actually deny in toto the claim that's brought against him. So why don't we say that on account of that chazaka, we're not going to force the guy to take a shvuas heses, because we have a chazaka that we should believe him. So why are we going to make him take a shvua? So says the Gemara, yeah, you're right. We do have a chazaka in that direction. However, ishtamutei udekam ishtamet le sovar adahavili uparana. Because the adahavile uparanale, you're right. Ordinarily, we have a chazaka that ain adam meis panav bifnei balchovo. However, the reason for this guy being a kofar akol has nothing to do with azas panim. In other words, it has nothing to do with actually being a mechutzav. The reason that he's denying is not because he has azas panim. It's because he's simply trying to delay him. In other words, he's trying to delay the collection until he has enough money to actually pay back the chob. See, he's not ill-intended, he's actually well-intended, and that's why we are going to force the guy to take a shvua, because we don't necessarily have the support of ein adam meis panav b'pnei balchovo, because there's a reason to be kofar hakol, even if you're not a meis panim. Says the Gemara, Teda, the Amar Avidi Baravin, Amar Av Chista, how do we know that a person is apt to deny owing a loan merely for the purpose of stalling, but not necessarily for the purpose of outright denial? So Teda, the Amar Avidi Baravin, Amar Av Chista, HaKofer B'milveh, if a person is Kofer B'milveh, Kosher Le'edus, he's Kosher Le'edus, in other words, he's not considered to be Chashud Amamon, he's not considered to be Chashud on monetary issues. And says Rashi, interesting, HaKofer B'milveh, about more than three quarters of the way down, HaKofer B'milveh Ubo Edim, and Edim come, V'hulo Nishba, and he has not yet taken a shvua that he doesn't owe the money, but he denies that he owes the money, even if we have Edim who say that he does owe the money, Kasher Leidus, he's still going to be Kasher Leidus. V'lo Amran Chashad Amamona. We don't say that he's Chashad on monetary issues. Ella ishamute kamishtamitle. However, he's merely pushing the guy off. He's merely trying to delay collection. Mishum de milvelot sa nitna, because the whole purpose of borrowing money is so that you could then spend the money. And ve'ein achshav biyado b'malafroa. And it's simply a case that he doesn't have what to pay back with now. And that's why he's denying. But the fact that he's denying, even if we have Edim who says that he really owes the money, the fact that he's denying doesn't make him choshed on monetary issues. But back in the Gemara, the last skinny line, b'pikadon, if a person is kofer in a pikadon, then pasul eidus, then he's going to be pasul eidus. And says Rashi, b'pikadon pasul eidus v'afilu no nishba, even if he doesn't take a shvua that he doesn't have the pikadon, so long as he denies the claim, he's going to be pasul. The midishah de kofer, from the time that he's kofer on the pikadon, ichshed le amamone, he's chashed on money, on monetary issues. In other words, we're talking where witnesses came and saw the money in and saw the thing, the item that he was guarding as a pikadon in his possession, and so he wouldn't have a taina, oh, the reason that I'm denying that I owe the pikadon is simply because I lost the item and I'm trying to delay until I find it and then I'm going to give it back, because there were edim who see it in his possession, so they come and say he has it right now. Tosfos says, interesting, from this Rashi, the diuk is that by milveh, we had said that the cases where edim come, but he doesn't take a full shvua, edim come and say that he owes the money, even if the edim see that he has the money in his possession, still he's able to be kofer and he's not chashed on mammon. Why? Because milveh lotzon, and yeah, he has the money now, but he might need the money to go spend and then pay back with different money. So kofer b'milveh is kosher le'edis because ishtamute yudakam ishtamet, because all he's trying to do is delay, and it's not considered to be ahazas ponim, it's not considered to be chashed on mammon if he denies the loan. Says the Gemara, last skinny line, Rav Chaviva Masni Asefa. Rav Chaviva learns the case of Shua's Hesis on the last case of the Mishnah. Mana li biyadcha, if a guy says, you owe me $100, Amar lo hain, he said, yeah, you're right, I do. Lamachar amar lo tenei ali, the next day he says, oh, give me the $100 that you owe me. Nosati lecha, and now the guy claims that I gave it to you already, potter, then he's going to be potter from a Shvua Mido Araisa, because again, this is a kofar akol. B'yam Rav Nachman, mashbiyan also Shvua's Hesis. And Rav Nachman says that we force the guy to take Eshvuas Heses. So Mandamas Niyaresha, the guy who's gonna, the Mandiyamar who says that you have to take Eshvuas Heses, even in the Resha, where there was no admission, all there was an outright denial, Kolshkein HaSeifa certainly is gonna say that you take Eshvuas Heses in the Seifa. Why? Because in the Seifa, initially the guy admitted that he owed the money, and it's only later that he comes and denies that he still owes the money. However, Amad Damastin La Seifa, however, the one who holds that you take a Shvuas Heses in the Seifa, Hacho Di Kadror De Mamona, the reason that you make the guy take a Shvu over there is because over there we already have a Suffolk on the money. In other words, there's a basis for him to take the Shvua because the guy admitted initially to owing the money. So there's more of a basis for him to take a Shvu. Now he's denying that he owes the money any longer. However, Aval Hasam, but in the Resha, Deleka Dror De Mamona, where there is no basis for assuming that he's denying, denying falsely, lo, then we would not force a shvuas heses. Right, so machlokas when the shvuas heses applies. So far, that's what we see here. Now the Gemara is going to transition to a discussion of what is the difference between a shvua daraisa, the shvua moda b'mixas that we learned about yesterday and the day before, and the shvua midrabanan and the shvuas heses which we are learning about today. Says the Gemara, my ika main shvua daraisa l'shvua d'rabanan. What's the difference between a shvua daraisa and a shvua d'rabanan? Now, parenthetically, we're going to talk about a lot of potential nafkaminos between a shvua daraisa and a shvua d'rabanan. One of the key aspects of a shvua daraisa that we learned about on Shabbos is the fact that when you swear, you require something called nikitas chefetz. You have to hold a Sefer Torah or Tefillin, we saw if you're a Talmud Chacham, in your hand. That is not on the list of what is required by Shvua Midrabanan. So now the question is Nikitas Chefetz acquired by a Shvua Drabanan? And Tosfos says that yes, Nikitas Chefetz is required by a Shvua Midrabanan. because if the kisas chefetz were not required by shvua midrabanan, when the Gemara is now bringing the nafkaminas between a shvua d'oraisa and a shvua d'rabanan, it should have said by a shvua d'oraisa you require nikitas chefetz, by a shvua d'rabanan you don't require nikitas chefetz. The Rambam paskins that by shvua d'rabanan you actually do not require nikitas chefetz. So the question is, according to the Rambam, why isn't this brought down as a nafkamina in the differences between a shvua d'oraisa and a shvua d'rabanan? So the Nosa Kalim understand the Rambam to mean that the Gemara is talking not about the differences in procedure, but actual other differences in the actual halachos of the Shvuah, and that's why it's not brought down as a nafkamina. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the whole procedure of the Shvuah d'Oraisa and the Shvuah d'Rabbanan are the same. However, Tosfos, we said, says, yes, it is apparent from the fact that this is not brought down as a nafkamina, that the whole procedure with all Nikitas Chefetz and everything is exactly the same. But what's the difference between a Shvuah d'Oraisa and a Shvuah d'Rabbanan? Says the Gemara, fourth line down, Ika Beinayu Mefech Shvuah. The difference is mefich shvua. What's mefich shvua? So whether you're allowed to flip the shvua on the other guy. In other words, what we had seen over the past couple of days is generally the paradigm of a shvua is that you're nishban v'niftarin. That if you take the shvua, then you are going to be putter from paying. What if the nitva says to the toveya, why don't you take a shvua and then you can collect? In other words, he's going to flip the shvuah from a nishban v'niftarin to a shvuah on the plaintiff who could be nishba v'notel. Are you allowed to flip the shvuah? So b'deraisa lo mafchinan, so by shvuah m'deraisa, no, you can't flip the shvuah. If the shvuah is on you, you've got to take the shvuah. And if you don't want to take the shvuah, you have to pay up. However, b'drabana mafchinan, however, by shvuah drabanan, you can be mepech the shvuah. In other words, even though usually the shvuah is on the defendant to be nishba and therefore to be putter from paying, if the defendant says to the plaintiff, you know what, I don't want to take a shvuah, you take a shvuah and thereby collect, the defendant is within his rights to say so, and he could flip the shvuah onto the plaintiff. Says the Gemara, Lamar bar Ravashi damar b'deraisa nami mafchinan. However, according to Mar bar Ravashi, who says that by shvuah d'oraisa, we also have this concept of mefich shvuah, Ma'ika bein d'oraisa l'drabanan. What's the distinction now between a shvuah d'oraisa and a shvuah d'rabanan? So ika benayu mechas l'nechse. So the question is, if mechas l'nechse, if we go down into the guy's nechasim, what does it mean to go down into the guy's nechasim? So Rashi again, second to last wide line, says all the way on the top, im amar eini nishba v'eini mishalem, let's say the defendant starts to stonewall you and says, I know I owe you a shvuah, but I'm not going to swear and I'm also not going to pay you, so too bad. So yardin l'chasa v'nosin l'zeh. So I mean, we have to enforce our judgment. If the defendant owes the plaintiff money, then, and the defendant is refusing to take the shvuah, which is his means of getting off the hook, we're going to say to the defendant, sorry, you've either got to take the shvuah or you've got to pay, so now you're refusing to take the shvuah, we're going to seize your assets and we're going to pay it over to the plaintiff. But that's only by a shvuah midoraisa. However, by a shvuah midrabanan, we would not do that. So b'daraisa nachtinan, so back in the Gemara, b'daraisa, we do go and enforce our judgment by forcing collection from the defendant. B'drabanan lo nachtinan l'nechse. However, by shvuah drabanan, we don't go down into the guy's nechasim. We don't collect from the guy's nechasim. Now, Rav Yossi, damar b'drabanan nami nachtinan l'nechse. However, according to Rav Yossi, who says that by an inyan that is midrabanan, that by a requirement that's midrabanan, we also go into the guy's nechasim and we force compliance with halacha. And how do we know Rav Yossi Shita? It's not in the context of shvuah, but it's in the context of a mitziah, nashavas aveda, the tanan. Mitziah scherashot of a katan. If you have a cherashot of a katan who finds a mitziah, and usually a cherashot and katan are incapable of creating a kinyan, they're incapable of making a kinyan. However, if they find a mitziah, yeshbaim gezel mimnei darkei shalom. There's an inyan of gezel mimnei darkei shalom. Not real gezel if you go take the mitziah from the hands of the cherashot of a katan, because they were never able to make an actual kinyan. However, there's an inyan of darkei shalom. In other words, society simply wouldn't function if you were able to go over to a cherashot of a katan and start grabbing mitziahs from them. That's not the way a civilized society operates. Rav Yossi says gezel gomer. No, it's real gezel. So the Gemara is bothered. Gezel gomer, how could it be gezel gomer? I thought that a cherashota and katan cannot make a kinyan. So if a cherashota and katan can't make a kinyan, how in the world can I violate gezel on a daraisa level? we're taking from a Cherashot of a Katan. V'yamar Rav Chista, and Rav Chista explaining the Shita of Rav Yossi says that it's Gezel Gomer Midrevrayim. No, it's Gezel Gomer Midrabanan. Okay, now the Gemara says Lamai Nafkamina. So what's the Nafkamina between if it's Gezel Mamnei Darkei Shalom or if it's Gezel Gomer Midrevrayim? Gezel Mamnei Darkei Shalom and Gezel Midrabanan sound awfully like the same thing. So says the Gemara, Lo Tzio B'dayanim. So the Nafkamina is to be Motzi B'dayanim. The Nafkamina is whether you're able to enforce collection. That by Gezel Gomer Midivrayim, just like by Gezel Midaraisa, if the Goslin refuses to pay back, Basin could go into his possessions and take the thing from him and pay it back. So too, by Gezel Gomer Midivrayim, if the guy refuses to pay back, you go into his Nechasim and you force collection, you force payment. So, but now what we see is, according to Rav Yossi, that by an obligation, that's Midrabanan, we do enforce the judgment. So it would turn out that by a Shvua Midrabanan also, if the guy refuses to take a Shvua and he refuses to pay, we would enforce the judgment. So what's the difference then between a Shvua Daraisa and a Shvua Darabanan according to Rav Yossi? So Ma Ikabein Daraisa Darabanan, so says the Gemara, Ikabeinayu Shekenegdo Choshel Al HaShvua. So we have a nafkamina where the other guy is choshered ala shvua. In other words, really the defendant owes a shvua because he's nishpav niftar, but the defendant is a guy who's choshered on his shvua. In other words, he's choshered to take a shvua for whatever reason. He has plausibility issues. He has honesty issues, and therefore we're not going to trust the shvua that he's going to take. So b'deraisa shachanenda choshered ala shvua afchina le shvua v'samu aidach. If it's a shvua midaraisa that the defendant owes, but he's choshed al shvua, what we'll do is we'll force the plaintiff to be nishpa v'notel as opposed to making the defendant take a shvua because we're afraid the defendant is going to lie. We don't want the defendant to lie and take a full shvua. However, by a drabanan, it's a takantahi, it's only a takana. V'takanta la takanta lo avdinan, and we're not going to make a takana on a takana. In other words, the whole reason by a shvua midrabanan that the defendant has to swear itself is a takana, and we're not going to make a takana on a takana. And therefore, if the Toveya is Toveya money from a guy who owes a Shvua Midrabanan but is not able to take it because he's Chashad Ala Shvua, then the Toveya is going to be Govet, even though then the Toveya is not going to be Govet if the Nitba can't take a Shvua. So Rashi explains Takantahi. This is in the first skinny line. Takantahi Shvua Atzma Shel Heses Takantahi V'Takantashi Tovea Nishba V'Notel Takanta Heses Shvua Shelo Bo Alav Ela B'Takanas Chachamim Lo Avdinan V'Yafsid Atovea Belo Shem Shvua. So what happens is the Tovea is going to be Mafsid if the Nitva owes the Shvua but is Chashad Al Shvua. Rather than have the Tovea be Nishba V'Notel, then the Tovea is just going to lose out here. Now Ulu Rabbanan De Pligele De Rav Yossi. However, according to the Rabbanan who argue on Rav Yossi, the Amru b'drabanan lo nachtina l'nichsei, who say that by a chiyuv drabanan, that by an item that's drabanan, by an inyan of a drabanan, we're not going to go into his nechasim and enforce the judgment or enforce collection. So my avdina lay. So what exactly do we think we're going to do in order to enforce compliance with mitzvos midrabanan or with chiyuvim drabanan? You always need some sort of deterrent or some sort of basis for enforcing compliance. And what's that basis? So says the Gemara, Mishpatina lei, well, we're going to put him in cheirim. So says the Gemara, Amar lei Ravina l'Ravashi. So says Ravina to Ravashi, Hai nakte b'chupsei dinishavke l'glime. That's like grabbing a guy by his beitzim until he gives back the cloak. In other words, you say, you're not going to go and enforce the judgment. What are we going to do? We're going to put him in cheirim forever. I said, if you're going to put him in cheirim forever, effectively what you're doing is you're enforcing judgment. In other words, there is no way of enforcing judgment that's greater than this. So what are you talking about? So Elamai Avdinalei, so what do you do? Amarlei, Mishmatinalei Adamate Zman Nagde. No, we put him in cheirim for the shortest period of cheirim available to us, which is 30 days. And then v'nagdinalei, and then we give the guy malchus v'shavkinalei, and then we let the guy be. In other words, it's not that we put him in perpetual cheirim, which is basically forcing him to comply with our judgment. We're going to put him in cheirim for a limited period of time. Then after the cheirim period is over, he's going to get malchus, and after that he goes on his merry way, but we're not actually going to seize the item from his possession. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, Hayman da afik shtar al chavrei. If a guy presents a shtar on his friend, v'yamar le shtar peruahu, and the friend says, yes, you're right, that is a shtar that I owe you $100, but it's already been paid back. I already paid back that money. Amrina le, we say to him, lav kol kaminach. You are not so strong as to rebut the presumption that's in the shtar that you're not paid back, that you haven't paid back, because yeah, the guy has a shtar that you owe him $100. There's no certificate or whatever. He's still holding the shtar. Therefore, the presumption is that it's still a valid chov. You have no right or you have no basis on the grounds of your verbal denial to deprive the guy of his money. So zil shlim, so you have to go pay back. Vim amar, and if the guy says, lishtabeali, if the defendant says, plaintiff, swear to me that the shtar is not parua and collect, aminale ishtabeale. Then we say to the plaintiff, well, you have to take a shvua. Samarle ravacha, braid the rav, ravashi, uma benzela, pogem eshtoro. How is this different between one who's pogem the shtar? In other words, I know by a case of pogem eshtoro, you could only collect with a shvua. But this guy didn't do anything to be pogem eshtar. Why should he require a shvua in order to collect? What's the case of pogem eshtoro? So Rashi brings down, this is a case of ksuba, where a woman presents a ksuba and says, and the ksuba says that she's entitled to $1,000, and the woman says that she already took $500, and she's only seeking to collect the remaining $500. And what we say to her is, well, since you hold a shtar that says you're entitled to $1,000, but you already admit that your shtar is not accurate because you claim you already took $500 of the $1,000, now you have to take a shvua before you want to take the full $1,000. So mamela, if this guy came with a shtar of $100 and said that you already paid me $50, but pay me the other $50, he's pogame shtar. He is undermining his own shtar. But if you hear the guy's not undermining a shtar at all, so why are we going to force him to take a shvua? That seems like a raw deal for him. So says the Gemara, Amar le, hasam afagav lotoan iu tanina le anan. Now, over there, by the case of Poge Mishtar, even if the defendant doesn't require the plaintiff to take the shvua, even if the defendant doesn't impose the shvua on the plaintiff, we basin are going to make the guy take a shvua. Hacha amina le zil shlim le. However, over here, we do tell the defendant, go pay him. Vitan viyamer shtabeali amina le zil shtabeali. And it's only if the defendant on his own account says to the plaintiff, oh no, why don't you take a shvua? In that case, we're going to force the guy to take a shvua. So in other words, we leave him to his own devices. We are not going to spoon feed him this strategy. Now, Vitzorm of the Rabbananu, and if the plaintiff is a rabbinical student, Lomesh Beinale, we're not going to force him to take a shvua because it's a lack of kavod for the Talmud Chacham. Similarly, Rav Yirmiyahu le Rav Ashi, Tzorv min Rabbanan Mashaleach Glima de Inshi. In that case, Tzorv min Rabbanan is going to be able to go and collect things from everybody because he's going to be able to go and lie and claim that he's owed things and nobody's going to be able to enforce a shvua on him. So says the Gemara, no. Loma zakina le ledine. What it means is that the Talmud Chacham is not going to be able to collect. He's not going to be able to collect at all because if the defendant is going to force a shvua on the plaintiff and the plaintiff is refusing to take a shvua and he's not going to be nishpa v'notel, if he's not nishpa, he's not notel. So in other words, it's not that we're giving the Tzorva and Rabbanan Talmud Chacham immunity from swearing and he could still collect. Because he doesn't swear, he also doesn't collect. The Rush says that if the Talmud Chacham decides that he wants to swear and collect, then we let him swear. We're only doing it for his kavod. But if he says, I'm ochel on my kavod because I want my money, then we let him collect his money. Okay, that's it for the sugya of Kofar HaKol. Now we're going to talk about Tamal Veskavir Be'edim, Sarach Leparo Be'edim. So Manali Biyadcha, so last skinny line. So Amar Rav Asi, Amal Veskavir Be'edim, if a person lends money to his friend in front of Edim, Sarach Leparo Be'edim, the lova has to pay back in front of Edim. Them as well. Kamrisa Kami Shmuel, when they said this halacha before Shmuel, Amarli, he said that Yachal Omer Lo, that the Lovek could say, Praticha b'vnei Polni Yiploni, I did pay you back in front of so and so the Edim, v'olchulam l'medina sayam, and they left and they went to Medina Sayam. And since he would be believed to say, Migu, that he would be believed to say that he paid back before two random people and then they went off to Medina Sayam, he's also believed to say that he paid back individually, that he paid back without Edim. That's the sheet of Shmuel based on this Migu. So even though we had seen Rav Ashi sheet Amavas Chavir Rabbeidim, Tzarech Lepar Rabbeidim, Shmuel argues and says, Ein Tzarech Lepar Rabbeidim. Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah. Mana libi yadcha. If a guy says, you owe me $100, omalohain. He said, yeah, you're right, I do. Lamachar omalotanei ali. The next day he says, give it to me. Nasati lecha. Now the guy, the lova, says he gave it to him. Potter, then he's going to be potter. Navaacha. Even the Tavei be'edim, since he was Tavei'a him in front of Edim, that's the Ukimta that the Gemara makes, that even though the Halva wasn't in front of Edim, but the Tvia was in front of Edim, Kemanda Osvei be'edim dami, it's as if he was, it's as if he loaned the money in front of Edim, and Viktani Potter, yet we say that he's Potter, and the Rashba points out that when the Lova claimed Nasati Lecha, the Mashmos is not, oh, I gave it to you in front of Edim, because then he would have added that to his Taina. The Mashmos, when he says Nasati Lecha, is I gave it to you individually, between you and I gave it to you. Yet what we see is he's Potter, he's believed to say that he paid back not in front of Edim. Tiyufta de Ravasi, so it's a kasha on Ravasi, because Ravasi had said that Amavas Chavira Be'edim, Sarech Lefaro Be'edim. So Amar Lecha Ravasi, Anokhe Armina Hecha Demei Kara Osve Be'edim. No, when do I say Amavas Chavira Tzorech Lefaro Be'edim? That's only when the initial loan took place in front of Edim. Why? Because the Malva demonstrates Delo Lididei Hemnei. Because the Malva demonstrates that he doesn't believe him. Hacha ha'emne, over here, the original Avah took place not in front of Edim. It was only the Tviya that was in front of Edim. But because the initial loan took place not in front of Edim, the Malva already demonstrates that he believes the Lova, and therefore the Lova is going to be believed to say that he pays back, even if he doesn't pay back in front of Edim. Rav Yosef Masni Hachi. Rav Yosef learns like this. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav Asi. Hamalva es chavera be'edim, if a person loans money in front of Edim, the default is that he doesn't have to pay back in front of Edim. However, Vim Omar Al Tefreni Ella Be'edim, however, if he says, you know what, if he expressly stipulates, do not pay me back except in front of Edim, Sarech Lefaro Be'edim, then he's going to pay back, then he has to pay back in front of Edim. So Kamrita Kameh de Shmuel, when they came before Shmuel, Amar Li Yacholomar Lo Paraticha Vnei Ploni Yuploni V'Ochlam Linidus Hayam, that no, even where the express Tanai was made, he still believed to pay him back individually without Edim, because he could have always said, oh, I paid you back in front of Reuven and Shimon, so-and-so, and they went to Medina Sayyam. And since he'd be believed in that case, he's also believed to pay back individually, not in front of Edim. Tanan, Manali Biyadcha, the guy says, you owe me $100. I'm a low. He said, yes. I'm a low. Al Taneali Elabifne Edim. Don't give it to me except in front of Edim. Lamacha, I'm a low. Taneali. The next day he says, give it to me. Nasati Lecha. And then he says, I gave it to you. In other words, I gave it to you in front of Edim and they went to Medina Sayyam. Then Chayav is Chayav. Why? Mimnesha Tzarech Litin Lo Be'edim. Tiyuf to the Shmuel. Now we ask a Kasha on Shmuel. So I'm a Lecha Shmuel Tanoi. No, it's not. It's Kasha Ami. It's a Machlokas Tanam. It's a Machlokas Tanam. That's why I'm an Amora. I'm arguing on this. The Tanya, Be'edim Ovisicha, because we have a following in a Braisa. Be'edim Ovisicha, I loaned you money in front of Edim, Be'edim Parali, and you have to pay me back in front of Edim, O Yitain, either pay me back, O Yavi Raya Shanasan, or bring a raya that you paid me back in front of these Edim. Rav Yudah ben Beseira Omer, Rav Yudah ben Beseira says, Yachal Omer lo paraticha b'vnei ploni yiploni v'alchalam dinis hayam. Rav Yudah ben Beseira, who's a Tana, is the one who says, no, the guy's believed to say that I paid you back in front of Edim, and they went to Medina Sayyam, and Migu, that he's believed to say, I paid you back in front of random Edim, and they went to Medina Sayyam, he's also believed to say that he paid them back not in front of Edim. That's the Shita of Shmuel, but the Shita of Shmuel is holding like that other Tana, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So Parach Ravacha, so Ravacha asks Akasha, so Mimai de Bashas Halva Koi, how do we know that we're talking about Bashas Halva, and that's where the Halva took place in front of Edim, or the demand to be paid back took place in front of Edim? Dilma Bashas Tviya Koi. Maybe that this whole conversation is taking only Bashas Tviya. Vachi Kamarle. And this is what he's saying. Lav be'edim l'visicha, be'edim hayalo l'fareini. In other words, he's at the Shas Tviya, he's saying, oh, didn't I loan you in front of Edim? You have to pay me back in front of Edim. Aval b'shas halva, but if he actually loans him money in front of Edim b'shas halva, and he says b'feirish at the time of halva, that you can only pay me back in front of Edim, Divrei HaKol Chayiv. then maybe in that case, everybody would hold that you're chayiv. So in other words, what we see is that even Rav Yehuda ben Beseira only holds his halacha where the tefillah was in front of Edim. But if the actual halva was in front of Edim, then even Rav Yehuda ben Beseira would say that you have to pay him back in front of Edim, meaning that Shmuel Shita is not like Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. So says the Gemara, Amara Papi Mishmei de Rava Hilchasa Malvas Chavera Be'edim Tzarech Lefaro Be'edim Amalvas Chavera Be'edim, you have to pay him back in front of Edim. And because we don't establish that Shmuel Shita is like Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. In fact, we say that Shmuel Shita is not like Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, because Rav Yehuda ben Beseira would say, or even Rav Yehuda ben Beseira would say that if the actual alva took place not in front of Edim, then you have to pay back in front of Edim. For a papa mishmei de Rava Amar Amalvas Chavera Be'edim Ein Tzarech Lefaro Be'edim. And Rav Papa, in the name of Rava, says that Amalvas Chavera Be'edim Ain Sarach Lefara Be'edim Vim Amar Al Tefreni Ela Be'edim. But if he says explicitly and expressly in a Tanai, only pay me back in front of Edim, Sarach Lefara Be'edim, then you have to pay him back in front of Edim. Vim Amar Lo Paraticha B'vnei Ploni Yeploni V'alcholam Dinas Hayam Neman. But if you say, oh, I did pay you back in front of Edim, they were random people and they went to Dinas Hayam, then you are going to be believed. So in that respect, we do paskin like Shmuel. The Rishonim struggle with, we had seen a couple of cases here. One is where at the time of Halva, the lender says, only pay me back in front of Edim. The other case that we saw was at the time of Halva, the lender doesn't make any express stipulation, but then later he's Toveya him in front of Edim and says, oh, only pay me back in front of Edim. So the Rishonim struggle with, if the initial loan was not made al Tanai, that you would pay back in front of Edim, how is it that you're allowed now to impose various conditions and criteria on repayment after the loan was already made? The guy never, the lover never agreed to these conditions. He never agreed to them. They were not extant at the time of the halva. How in the world can you bind the guy to these conditions? So the Rambam, explained by the Magid Mishnah, says that the Loveh is meshabed himself to whatever conditions the Malveh wants to put on him because of the concept of Eved Loveh le'ish Malveh, because the Loveh ultimately has to capitulate. He agrees to capitulate to whatever conditions the Malveh wants to put on him. And the Ritva quotes the Rashba, says something similar, that a person who loans somebody money is different than a person who entrusts somebody else with a pikadon, because a person who entrusts somebody else with a pikadon is not doing the guy any favors. He's not doing the nifka got any favors. Whereas when a malve gives a loan to a love, the malve is doing the love a favor. And because the malve is doing a favor to the love is going to agree to be meshabin himself to whatever conditions the malve wants to put on the loan, even if the conditions are not put on the loan, b'shas halva, even if they're put on the loan later. The Ramban Taka argues and says that if the love doesn't accept the malve's condition and the malve tries to impose the condition after the halva, the Lova is not going to be bound unless the Lova accepts, because Enechanami, at the time of the Kinyan, at the time this whole thing was, this whole transaction was entered into, you had not yet stipulated that this criteria should apply. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. So we have a long simon over here. Let's skip to the end of the simon. It's three lines down in the wide lines. So who d'amrle lechavre? There was a guy who said to his friend, "Ki paratin paran li ba'ape be Reuven v'Shimon. When you pay me back only in front of Reuven and Shimon." Now ozel lepare ba'ape trei me alma. He went and paid him back in front of two random people, not Reuven and Shimon. Amr Abaya ba'ape be trei. Amrle ba'ape be trei pare. Abaya says, "What's the big deal? He wanted to be paid back in front of two people. He was paid back in front of two people. Shalom al Yisrael. It's fine. It's a valid repayment." And Amrle Rava. Rava said, "No. Lachi kamrle ba'ape Reuven." Reuven v'Shimon, the reason that he said that he wanted to be paid back in front of Reuven and Shimon is ki echi delo nitzchaya, is because he didn't want the guy, he didn't want the love to be able to push him off and say, oh, I paid you back in front of two random guys, and now these guys went to Medina Sayyam. He wanted to be paid back dafka in front of Reuven and Shimon, who he knew weren't going to go run off to Medina Sayyam. That way he'd be able to verify the repayment. And the Lova agreed that he would only be able to be toein, that he paid back the chov, if he paid it back in front of Reuven, and he paid it back in front of Reuven and Shimon. And therefore, no, the stipulation is valid, and it's not considered to be a good repayment unless he pays him back in front of Reuven and Shimon. Next case. There was a guy who said to his friend, Kiparati li, when you pay me back, currently bape betray the tanu hilchasa. You have to pay me back in front of two very learned people who know how to two people who know how to learn. So Ozol Pare Ben Delay Lidilay. He went and paid him back privately. So Itznes Hanach Zuzay. So the money that the Lova paid back to the Malva were lost. So also Lakame to Rav Nachman. Now they come to Rav Nachman. Amarlay, and the Malva admits in Kabuli Kabaltinu Minach Derech Pikadon. The Malva admits, yes, I did accept the money back from you, but I accepted from you not Betoras repayment of the loan, because I told you that I only wanted to be repaid in front of two people who are Talmidei Chachamim. You pay me back privately, therefore, yes, I accepted the money, but I accepted it from you Betoras Pikadon, and I was a Shomer Chinam, and the Shomer Chinam is not Chayav in Genev and Aveda, and therefore I lost your money, but I don't owe you your money, and you have to pay me back the $100 that you borrowed from me initially because you never fulfilled the Tanai. I figured, let me hold the money until, as a pikadon, until we do come across two people who know how to learn, and then you'll actually pay me back fully. And the Tanai will be fulfilled. So Rav Nachman said, given the kamodas tavade shakaltino mine, since you admit that you took it from him, perom al yahave, then no, this is a valid repayment. We don't believe that you actually took it as a pikadon. And if you're so makbid on your Tanai that he pay you back in front of two people who are learned, Zulas Naya, Daha Anov Rav Sheshes, the Tanai Hilchasav, Safra, Vesavri, Vetosefta, Vekuli Gemara. So right now you're in front of me and Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes and I are Tamidei Chacham, and we know all of Shas. We know all of Torah. So that's enough for your Tanai. But the fact that he paid you back is an actual repayment. There was a guy who said to his friend, Havli Meya Zuzei Do Ziftech, give me $100 that I loaned to you. Amar lei lahoyed var meyolam. He said, no, never happened. Ozel Isay Sadi de Ozfe Yapare. Well, the witnesses came who said that they saw the loan, and they also saw the lover pay the guy back. So Amar Abaya, Sabaya said, my nevad, inu amar ozve, inu amar pare. Sabaya said, what can we do for the malve? The Edom came and said that he loaned the money, but the Edom also came and said that he was paid back the money. So the malve can't collect now. Rav Amar, no, kol amar lo lavisi, we have an admission of the love. Anybody who said, because the love denied, the love said, la adam, I never borrowed money from you. Kol amar lo lavisi, anybody who says lo lavisi, kol amar lo parati dummy. It's as if he says, lo parati dummy. It's as if he says, I never paid back, and therefore it's as if we have a hodah that he still owes the guy money. One more case. There was a guy who said to his friend, Havli me azudu de masikna b'chal, give me the $100 that I loaned to you. Amarle lo paraticha b'vnei ploni uploni, didn't I pay you back in front of so-and-so? So asu ploni uploni, amarle lo yadvar meyolam. So the Edom came and said that this never happened. So Rav Sheshes lameh marhuchs a kafran. So Rav Sheshes thought that the lov is a kafran because he claims that he paid him back in front of two witnesses, but the witnesses says it never happened. So amarle rava, kol milsud lo rami aleinche lava daite. No, anything that, any detail, or something that's not so important to the person's not going to pay attention to. Rashi explains, kagon zesh lo hayla loma praticha be'edim. He didn't even have to say, the lover didn't even have to say, I paid you back in front of Edim. Shlo amar lo ze b'shas halva be'edim parali. Because the malva never stipulated b'shas halva that he'd be paid back dafka in front of Edim. Hilkach lo summis libo liskar im be'edim para im shlo be'edim. Therefore, the guy just never paid attention. Now he said be'edim praticha, but it was lav dafka, and therefore, even though the Edim come and say, no, you never pay back in front of us, still that does not necessarily undermine the guy's credibility. We'll pick up with the next case, God willing, tomorrow.